Praise the Lord. What a beautiful night in God's presence, taking in of His Spirit, and it's time for the Word. Message tonight, I'm building an ark. Simple message, but so much on my heart. I'm building an ark. Let's turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 7 to begin with. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, his family, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah, he heard a word from God. He opened his spirit, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, the judgments to come, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. What about the preaching that Jesus did to the spirits in prison? I like the words of Samuel Ridout. I think this is the best interpretation. He said it was Christ who by the Spirit went and preached through Noah to the men before the flood and whose spirits are now in prison. They didn't receive the message. They didn't receive the preaching. Well, the Bible says eight souls were saved in that antediluvian world, the pre-flood world. Only eight souls came out of that civilization. One man, one family. Think of it. And all the rest of the world had fallen to its own ways, to godlessness, immorality, the world spirit, walking their own inclination and their own ways. Estimates are that with the long lifespan of early man, 800-900 years, that there could have been between 700 million and a couple billion people on the earth. One man, one family, eight people were saved out of that world. That's how godless that world became. 1,650 years into human history, there had been such a forsaking of God. These people were not far removed from Adam. Adam lived over 900 years. We're 1,650 years into history. There was a long gospel message. Genesis 3:15 was there for those who wanted to receive it and other promises of God. But there'd been such a forsaking of the Lord. The Bible shows, as we look at the records in Genesis, that in the time of the flood, in that year, all righteous people had deceased, and there were only godless left. Methuselah, who lived the longest of any man, 969 years, was the last man to die before the judgments came and the flood came. He was the embodiment of the long suffering of God. God said, I'm going to wait. This man's going to live the longest of any man because I am merciful and I want to save a people and I want to bring a people out of death and judgment and darkness. Methuselah died in the year of the flood, the last righteous man apart from Noah and his family. 969 years earlier, his parents had the spirit of prophecy come upon him and the Holy Spirit said, call this child Methuselah. When he dies, it will come. That's what his name means. When he dies, it will come. What will come? The end, the flood, the judgments of God will be poured out on a godless world. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 18. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, 450 feet. Its width 50 cubits, 75 feet wide, and its height 30 cubits, 45 feet. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And then Genesis 7 and 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. What glorious words. Come into the ark, you and all your family, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. What a promise. What an expectation. What a beautiful mercy of God. A world descending into darkness and corruption, forsaking God. I think it's reasonable that at first, when Noah came out with the plan of the ark, that there were a lot of interested people. Judgment to come, the end of the world, the end of civilization, God treading the fierceness and wine, the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, the great day of the Lord. People at first heard that word, and I think that people came and joined Noah and his sons building the ark. Friends and relatives, brothers and sisters, interested neighbors, people whose conscience was convicted about how they were living, an ark of salvation, a day of judgment coming, a refuge of God that's available. But they all dwindled off after a while until Noah was left alone, just one man and his family. I've wondered about this many times. Would I have kept building? What if every person I knew that had any godly heritage fell away from the Lord, their families fell away, a whole world walked away from God, and I and my family were the only ones still preaching righteousness, calling people to repentance, praying for people, calling for the mercy of God, building on an ark? Would I have continued building? And the only answer and assurance I have is that I'm building now. So it stands that I would have been building then. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was divinely warned of judgment to come. He moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark to save his family. The scripture says, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And the answer is, God has. John the Baptist, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Same question comes through to us. Who has warned us? God has warned us. The Bible has warned us. Faithful preachers and teachers of the word and Sunday school teachers have warned us. Godly parents have warned us. And so here we are, moved with godly fear. There's a few scriptures I want to bring out of Proverbs at this point. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you have the fear of the Lord, you'll hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have an ark. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Proverbs 16:6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Noah was divinely warned of the end day judgment, of the time, of the coming of the judgment of his day. And we know that's coming in our day as well, the second coming of Christ. He was moved with godly fear. And so we must nurture the fear of the Lord within our lives and walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk in the counsel of the Lord. Hate evil and pride. Build a place of refuge. Build an ark of safety. Look to the manners of our life. Look to our attitudes and behaviors. We've got to build an ark of salvation for ourselves and for our family. You know, some might say, Pastor, why do you go to church so much? Service after service, week after week, month after month, year after year, no breaks except for legitimate vacation. Why do you go to church so much? Well, the answer is simple. I'm building an ark. Why so committed to the prayer room? The prayer services with supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving? Because I'm building an ark. I want to save my family. I've been divinely warned of things to come, the judgment of God, the end of the world, that we will stand before God and it's either heaven or hell. We've been divinely warned. There is nothing even remotely close in this life to the salvation of our families, of my family. Everything else in this life is nothing compared to the salvation of my home and of my family and of my children and of my children's children. And I know it's the same for you. I'm building an ark. But you say, it takes so much time and effort. Yeah, well, talk to Noah about that. by the records. He could have been building that ark. It seems he was building for 75 years for that ark to be prepared. It was an enormous structure. Listen, it wasn't just for him and his family. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that could have boarded that ark in the mercy and long suffering of God. But in the end, it was him and his family. And the animals and the birds after their kind, not after their species, but after their kind. There was lots of room for the kinds of animals and birds, and there was ample room for the people. But they wouldn't come. Here he is building this enormous structure. I mean, it was 150 meters long, three times as long as this sanctuary from the back wall. Almost as wide as this sanctuary, not quite, and as high as the roof with three stories. And you think of the labor that was going on in that man's life and in his family. Building an ark of salvation. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes cost. Yes, our tithes and offerings too. To build an ark of salvation for our families. 2 points tonight. Number one, keep building the ark regardless of what other people do. Keep building the ark for your family regardless of what other people do. It is not wise for us to compare ourselves to other people and say, oh, I'm doing pretty good or this or that. We only have one way that we can rate and evaluate our conduct, and that is by the blueprints of the Word of God. So we must keep building. We cannot give in to passivity, thinking that somehow, magically or mysteriously, the ark is just going to appear for my family. I'll just wait. There it comes around the bend. The ark just magically appearing. Everything's just going to work out all right. The ark doesn't magically appear in a family. You have to build it. You have to build it. It doesn't magically appear. You have to build it. You know, I have a few proverbs over the years, but this is one of my proverbs. I've observed a lot of things. One of the most foolish mistakes a Christian can make is that of sporadic church attendance. Keep building the ark. One of the most foolish mistakes a Christian can make is that of sporadic church attendance. Keep building the ark no matter what other people do. Number two, to build an ark, you have to build in one place, and you have to build for a long time. You have to build in one place, and you have to build for a long time. You can't just build here, there, and everywhere. Tack up a few boards now and again. Smear on some pitch from time to time when you feel like it. You have to build into a vision. It takes commitment. You have to be methodical. You have to be steadfast. You have to be faithful. You have to be decisive to build an ark. Listen, Noah had a livelihood. His livelihood wasn't building the ark. Not like somebody was paying him wages, just go build this ark. He had a livelihood. He had an occupation. He had domestic duties. He had responsibilities of life. He had family life to look after, and he did all that. But he kept building the ark. He kept building the ark. Don't apologize for your spirituality. Just say, I'm building an ark. Let's have the worship team come. Matthew 24, verse 37. Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's stand in the house tonight. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his family, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. Let's commit tonight. Some of you, this can be a strengthening word to you. Not to compare ourselves with others, how we rate against them or what's happening in the Christian world. We guide our lives by the word of God, and we must move with godly fear in this hour and build an ark and save our family and continue in the ways of the Lord. And I know that's in your heart tonight. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord afresh. If you'd like prayer tonight or need to commit to the Lord in a special way of consecration, please slip out from where you are and come to the front. The prayer team will be here with you. But for a few moments tonight, let's let this word of the Lord sink into our heart. Guide our way wisely and guide our way with decision. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't let the casualness of others affect you. Don't let the disinterest of others turn you to the right hand or to the left. Say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If there's only one family left, only eight of us left, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord tonight.